Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Erin Fulton, and joining me this morning, I have Betsy Loganbaugh coming over from Juneau for a very interesting Sitka Maritime Heritage Society fundraiser coming up this Thursday. The presentation titled Death of a Rum Runner. Yep. Betsy, thank you for coming over this morning.
I'm always happy to be here. This is great. It's nice to be in Sitka. It's nice to be on KCAW. It's great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you are no stranger to Sitka. This has been your home for a number of years.
Until it was my home for a number of years. I think actually now I've lived in Juneau longer, but I still think of myself as a Sitkan. And just like my uncle, who also grew up here, used to say, when we see those basketballs, those basketball uniforms in Juneau, we still think, ugh. Which, given that both my daughters went there, probably isn't a good reaction. Neither of them were basketball players, though.
But you said that's still a reaction. That's
yes,
very
just
deep.
Visceral.
So you have your career was started has always been as a curious mind. You
that's
started
right.
as a you were a reporter for the Sitka Sentinel,
yep.
And even in your retirement, you still have that investigative curious
that's
bug
right.
in your mind, and that's led you into an interesting and I guess a pretty popular subset of the American mind is into true crime
right.
and to these historic darker avenues of our past, and you've looked into these darker paths of Alaskan history. You
right.
have a book, The Forgotten Murders of Alaska's Capital. Mm-hmm. And this fundraiser, this presentation coming up, is a aspect of that, right?
Right. It's actually going to be a chapter in my next book, which is hopefully going to come out soon. I'm just finishing it up now. I come over to Sitka usually for January because January in Juneau is truly dreadful. Mm-hmm. And write. It also takes me out of the house and puts me in a place where I have to write. So that's what I've been working on is the second nonfiction book. And this particular story is in that book, which although it's another Juneau story, many of the stories in the second book are other places in Alaska, southeast.
Awesome. So this presentation that you'll be doing on Thursday is taking us through this whole narrative of this, I guess, kind of a murder mystery in some way, except we'll find out the end.
Yeah.
You've investigated it all for us.
Well, one of the things that I like to do when I choose a story to write about or research is find one that is satisfying, because there's nothing more frustrating than a murder that's never solved, which happened a lot,
right.
or a death that looks like you and I would definitely say it was a murder, but they said no. Like, I came across a story in Juneau where a man had supposedly cut his own throat, but after cutting the throat had folded up the folding knife and put it in his pocket, which seemed either a phenomenal muscle memory or someone else had done it.
Truly, truly. That's a head scratcher that someone would be like, oh, he was clearly just unfortunately very depressed but still very thoughtful.
Yeah, I thought it was very strange.
Oh, yeah.
So and the historic murders nowadays, with true crime podcasts being so popular, any kind of crime, people want to investigate themselves, and it kind of goes off sometimes in crazy rabbit holes.
Right.
But historic crime, people didn't anticipate or expect murder ever. That was just not something they were looking for. So every time there was a suspicious death, they would pull together a coroner's jury of six white men, of course, and they would have to go to the scene of the crime or the scene of the death and determine whether this was a murder or a suicide or just an accident. And I'd say 90% of the time they said it was an accident, even things that probably definitely were not, because they just weren't looking for it. They didn't want it. It was just going to be a mess, you know. It was to nobody's benefit to question the man whose wife fell down the stairs. It just wasn't. So I suspect there were a lot more murders going on, especially spousal murders, than were actually prosecuted.
Yeah, and I got to imagine this historic territorial days, Juneau, of it is such a small town that.
Yep.
Goodness, it's not like a big city where you might be able to might be able to prosecute something because there's still that degree of anonymity in a bigger
right.
city.
No, like, you would know everybody.
Everybody knows everyone's business. There's
yep.
ooh,
I mean,
extra complicated.
Juneau, even when it was the largest community in the territory, still had about 6,000 people.
Right.
So, yeah, everybody knew everybody. They had oftentimes a real hard time getting a jury together mm-hmm. because from until women were given the right to vote, which in Alaska was the first piece of territorial legislature. Legislation was when they met in 1914, the first piece of legislation was to give women the right to vote. And I used to think, that's really progressive. And then I do Capitol tours over in Juneau, and mm-hmm. I was talking about this one day, and a woman from Wyoming said, oh, they really did that because they wanted to increase the number of voters in the territory to encourage statehood.
Well.
Anyway, after they give women the right to vote, they also sometimes started putting them on juries.
Sometimes, okay, mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So getting one step,
yeah,
getting closer.
Yeah.
Getting closer to that, a little bit of equality.
So this particular story, though, has a lot to do with prohibition, which mm-hmm. is also a fascinating story. Before there was a national prohibition, Alaska had its own prohibition called, I love this name, the Alaska Bone Dry Act. Because you were bone dry, I guess. Not that anybody who wanted not to be bone dry, they certainly didn't have to be. Lots and lots of stills, lots of bootlegging.
It's kind of like a sponge. It looks dry, but you give it a squeeze
exactly.
and it's sopping wet.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So with this death of a rum runner, this presentation you have on Thursday evening, can you kind of set the stage for us?
Sure.
Who are our characters here?
Well, it's 1926, so we're right smack middle of Prohibition. The victim is a bootlegger, a younger man, youngish man. He'd come up to work in one of the gold mines in Juneau, and then that gold mine closed. It was the one in Douglas. Mm. So he then just sort of started working in saloons, and then he sort of started his own business. And it's quite profitable. He's doing very well. Knows a lot of people, none of whom really like him very much. At one point, when he was a few years before this, he actually had somebody shoot at him in a grocery store. Missed him. That was all the story said. Somebody shot. Nobody said who. Nobody charged anybody because they just didn't like him. So he's, July 4th, is in a downtown grill. And another friend gestures a man into the grill who he knows slightly, maybe more than slightly. And after a few words are exchanged, and there are a lot of people in the grill, their customers, the friends group of mm-hmm. about six people, and then the staff of the cafe. And none of them really hear very much, but within a few minutes, our bootlegger is dead on the floor. And our killer has walked out the door and is quickly, basically turns himself over to police. Quickly indicted for first-degree murder, goes to trial, and there's where things go really sideways.
That things can go sideways when you have a public murder and
of an unarmed man.
Of an unarmed man and the one who fired the gun or
right.
you did the
yeah
admitted
the yeah
oh
yeah
oh
yeah.
my
so it's and I actually just this past week had been writing a story about a murder in Tenneke that was somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. Again, somebody no one liked. The newspaper referred to him, this was in 1906, as a bad man. That was their description. He's a bad man. So it was okay that the person shot the bad man, who was literally wearing a bathrobe when he was shot. He was wearing a bathrobe. He was going on his way over to the baths in Tenneke and walked into Snyder's Mercantile mm-hmm. and ended up dead on the floor. And again, first-degree murder indictment, and then again, things went sideways at the trial. So it's really interesting reading these old stories.
Yeah, that's some. It's not as not in as cut and dry as you think. That there's so many extra compounding factors when you have such a small town and mm-hmm. such a
and a different sensibility about how people could feel threatened and what that looked like. There were lots of people carrying guns, sort of similar to today. There's a story about the first bank robbery in Juneau, and a guy walks in with two guns, ends up being shot by the clerk who just happened to have a gun one of the clerks who just happened to have a gun in the drawer in front of him and follows him out and start shooting at him, not recognizing the fact that he'd been jumped on by a passing cab driver. So he ends up shooting the cab driver as well as the killer. But the cab driver was slightly wounded, according to the newspaper.
Just slightly wounded. Just grazed him.
Just a
flesh
twice.
Wound. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So it was sort of the Wild West.
Truly.
Yeah.
And it's not all that long ago.
No,
when you think
it really
about
isn't.
It.
Wow. It's been fun because the story in the book that I did about Sitka, I actually was able to talk to a couple people who remembered it, including Brownie Thompson, who's having her 100th birthday.
Oh wow!
So that was really cool.
Oh, that is
very fun.
That's really exciting, and yeah, to have these that are in the not so distant past, mm-hmm. that you can still have those firsthand accounts. It's fun for us, those of us, who it's distant enough to think, oh wow, that what a wild thing to imagine, imagining your the town you live in as seeming so familiar, but how could it? Yeah, it could be so different,
very different.
Not that long ago.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, we're basically out of time this morning,
okay.
Betsy. But it's been great talking with you. We'll have the rest of this tale, Death of a Rum Runner, this Thursday at Harrigan Centennial Hall at 7 p.m. This is all as a fundraiser to benefit the Sitka Maritime Heritage Society. If people want to read more about these types of tales, they have your first book, Forgotten Murders from Alaska's Capital. And then if they want to
read more about a historic murder, I've got a new novel that just came out last week called Death in the Underworld. So the event Thursday is also going to include dessert.
Ooh, even better.
Yes. And tickets are available now.
Excellent. I'm assuming they'll be at Old Harbor Books.
Yep.
Excellent. Tickets at Old Harbor Books. And I'm sure Sitka Maritime Heritage Society will have more information on their website and all their socials as well. Well, Betsy Loganbaum, thank you so much for coming
in
this morning.
Thanks for having me.